Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We've been diving into what it looks like to bear good fruit the way that Jesus taught and the way that he has called us to in the New Testament. This is, like I said, our theme for 2024, and we've already introduced you to the idea of roots and seeds and soil and the importance of those. If you missed any of those messages, make sure that you go back and listen to them because they've been so good. You can find all of our messages on our website, myhopecity.church, or any podcast streaming. You can find our messages there. Myhopecity.church is what it's called. So definitely go back and listen if you've missed any of those. But today we're going to be diving in to the idea of this actual fruit that is talked about, that Jesus brings up many times throughout the Bible. And we started talking about roots and soil and seeds on purpose. We started there because the fruit that appears on a tree is always an indication of what's happening on the inside. We started with the inside because anytime you see a healthy tree or a healthy bush or a healthy crop of any kind, you know that what's happening under the soil, what's happening in the roots, what's happening in the plant itself is healthy. And that's why the crop is healthy. In the same way, we're going to be talking about how our fruit is an indicator of what's happening inside of us. The fruit is your overflow. It's the product of what's happening on the inside of you. It makes me think of Jesus' words in Matthew 12. Pretty intense words, actually. But he was talking to a group of Pharisees who were speaking against the work that he was doing. And they were speaking against the work that he was doing because it broke all of their rules. It didn't make sense to them. And this is what he says, starting in verse 33. He says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, usually a term that I try to steer away from being called. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good fruit, good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Right smack dab in the middle of that passage said, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. I always know the condition of my heart based on the thoughts that are coming to my mind and the words that I'm saying. If my thoughts and my words start to get ugly, I know that there's something going on inside of me that isn't lining up with Jesus's heart. In that passage, Jesus was getting to this idea that whatever is happening in your hearts determines what you grow. It determines the fruit that you grow. So our question for today is, what are you growing? Because you are producing something. Something is guiding your lives. Our anchor text for today is out of Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. This is a long passage, so buckle up, but it's so good. Starting with verse 16, it says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, here we go. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful desires, pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, disunity, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. I'll come back to that. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, there's good news coming. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. When we see lists like this in the Bible, they're usually not meant to be exhaustive. What that means is, I think sometimes we approach God's word, we approach the Bible with this attitude of, if it's not on the list, then it doesn't count. Wrong. Not true. That's why it's important to have that scripture said, and other sins like these, which means there's more, right? That's why it's important to have multiple channels open for God to speak to you. One channel is his word. The word of God is absolutely a channel for God to speak to you through. Another channel is your prayer life. How much time are you spending talking to God and getting his thoughts on the things that you're doing and participating in? Another channel is through other people, other godly mentors who you've given permission to speak into your life. There's all kinds of channels that God can speak to us through, but only if they're open. So what are you growing? Are you growing sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures? Are you growing idolatry, sorcery, hostility? Are you growing quarreling and jealousy and outbursts of anger? Or are you growing love? Are you growing joy? Are you growing peace? Are you growing patience? I know what we all want to say, right? When I ask a question like, what are you growing? We all want to say, well, I do grow love. I do love people, and I love people well. Okay. Who's getting to decide the way you love? Does your love have limits? Does your love have boundaries? Does it only go so far? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 defines a love that's a little different than the way that I've been seeing it play out in the 21st century. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4, says, love is patient and it's kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, yikes, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. We want to say, I am patient. I'm growing patience. Okay. As one of my friends likes to say, patience is the journey between the prayer and the answer. From the time that you pray to the time you see an answer, how are you acting? How long do you wait before you take matters into your own hands? How is that journey going? Are you patiently waiting? How about this one? I hear people laughingly joke, I'll never pray for patience. Actually, maybe you should. Maybe the practice that comes with praying a prayer like that is exactly the thing you need in order to bear the fruit of patience in your life. At what point did we stop asking God to grow us because we were afraid of the process? More on that next week. Come on back. We want to say, I practice self-control all the time. Well, what about when somebody cuts you off in traffic? Ooh, that's the easiest one. Wait till you hear my next ones. What about when somebody talks rude to your kid? Ooh. What about when that's the last straw? How's your self-control then? Well, Pastor Cherie, I'm only human. I know that you're only human. I'm very aware of that. And I think we can all agree that that humanness is getting plenty of chance to shine through. We're seeing that humanness all the time. And that's actually my first point. There needs to be less of you. Less of your humanness and more of Jesus shining through you. I tell people all the time, that list, love, joy, peace, the way that God intended it, it is impossible for you to do on your own. You can't do it on your own. When sin entered the world, humans began entering the world with the Bible says, sinful flesh. Word picture, right? Flesh, getting all fleshy in here. That's just a way of saying that we have a natural bend toward doing the things and acting ways that we shouldn't. It's saying, as this translation said, sinful desires, right? Without, it's nature. Our sinful desires are nature. That's what happened when sin entered the world. It's only through constant prayer, constantly bringing it to Jesus and saying, God, this is an area in my life where my humanness is shining through, and I need you to intervene here. The prayer is, change my heart. Jesus, align my heart with your heart. Help me to see people the way that you see people. And that's a good prayer. But it can go even further, one step further, if you make it personal. So this past week, I was putting this message into practice before I even preached it. And I was spending some time with God, and I said, God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with this situation. God, how do you see blank? Put a name right in there. God, what do you think of when you think of this person? And in that moment, then I had to get quiet. Some of you start saying stuff and then you just move along. And God's like, oh, I had an answer, but didn't give me a chance to say it. Then I had to stop and be quiet. And God started filling my mind with his thoughts of this person, with how he feels about this person. Let me tell you, there's no way it could have been my thoughts. And it was powerful. I was like, oh, that's the way you see it. Oh, yeah, you're right, God. I see that too. Now that I think about it, that person, that's so how they are. You see that potential. I see that potential in them too. And it gets pretty impossible to stay in that heart condition when you're allowing God to pour into you exactly how he sees a person. Make it personal. That's a challenge from me this morning. Make it personal. Take time to say, God, not just God, allow me to see people the way that you do. That's important. But God, how do you see so-and-so? And then pause and stop and wait. That's why it starts on the inside. That's why Jesus said a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. That's why he said whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Only when there starts to be less of you and more of him is when you start to see consistent good fruit. We all have periodic good fruit, right? That's not what Jesus has called us to. Consistent good fruit takes work. The second thing that we need to be doing in order to answer the question, what are you growing, is we have to get a consult. When we get a consult on something, whether it's medical or business or technical or you name it, when you get a consult, here's what you're doing. You are inviting an expert into your situation in order to get their advice on how you should proceed. Agreed? You're inviting an expert into your situation to take evaluation and see what you should do next. That's a consult. Here's why we need a consult. Because remember back at the beginning of this message when I said we all like to say, I do love. I am patient. Self-control, got it. Turns out we may not know best. Turns out we may not have as much of a check mark on those as we think. Thank goodness there's someone who knows us better than we know ourselves, who can speak, who can be an expert in the areas where we have bias. King David wrote a psalm that so greatly expresses how well God knows us. I'm going to read it to you. It's Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. We need to ask God for a consult on how we are doing in each of these fruits. Take it one fruit at a time. Spend some time asking God every day, God, how am I doing in the area of love? How could I do better? That leads me to my final point, which is always come back. Don't just assume that if you've grown in the area of kindness, then God is done with you in that area. This Galatians 5 should be a checklist for you, a checklist of spiritual health that you're returning to frequently, allowing God to grow you and stretch you and push you forward. Looking back at Galatians 5, verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. We can be sure that we are always, consistently, again and again, gonna have to be nailing our desires, our sinful nature, to the cross. What does that mean? That just means that we bring it back to him time and time again, asking Jesus to change our heart, giving it to him. Okay, God, I see the fruit of fits of anger. I see the fruit of anger in my life. I don't want it. It's not good for me. Will you take it? That's what nailing it to the cross looks like. And then you have to walk away from it. Then you have to go the other way. It's a continual journey where we keep asking him to make us more like him every single day. It's a continual journey where we say, God, I'm seeing these fruits. You're pointing out these fruits inside of me that are not what I want them to be. So I give them to you. What kind of fruit would you like me to grow in return? Oh, peace? Okay, Jesus, what does peace look like in me? How do I grow that inside myself? Maybe you've been on this journey of life and you've always just done whatever you wanted to do, whatever feels good and right. You follow your heart and never even consider God's best plan. Listen, I'm not judging you, because here's the thing. Our world, our society, that is the message that gets thrown in our face every single day, time and time and time again. The message is, live your own truth. Do what makes you feel good. Do whatever makes you feel happy. You only live once. Live life to the fullest. That's the messages that get thrown at us over and over and over again, causing us to just do whatever, chase after something that will fill that void, right? That thing that makes us feel empty inside, we're just chasing after something to make it feel better.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.